Alright, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, we already got up to the, over here in the Mishnah, on,
Guess which page?
On Gimel Amud Aleph, Pesachos Makos. We're hoping now, in the Mishnah, Baruch Hashem, we saw the Mishnah and the Gemara, so we'll try to go through the Mishnah and the Gemara with the Rashi inside. Hopefully we'll understand a little bit more what's going on. So, we'll start with the Mishnah again. What does the Mishnah say? Me'idin anu et ish ploni. Two Eidim come to Bestin, and they say the following. They say, we're saying testimony on a certain man. Shegiresh et ishto. We're saying testimony on a certain man that he divorced his wife. Good. Which comes out, lo natala ktubata. Which comes out, he never gave her a ksuba. That's what comes out. It comes out that he never gave her a ksuba. Fine. Now, the question is, We know the halacha by Edom Zomim is that whatever they try to do to the Edom Zomim, that's what we do to you. Meaning what? Whatever you try to do to them, that's what we do to you. The question is, what did the Edom Zomim try to do to this person? What were they trying to do to him?
I mean, besides taking money.
But I'm saying, sorry, so no
and
question.
And besides screwing up his marriage.
They didn't do anything. Everything's beautiful. He's going to stay back married. What the Edom Zomim come, what happened? Two Edom come and say, these guys are Edom Zomim. Right? They're with us in B'nai Brak. So now, what's the halacha? The halacha is that you do to them what they want to do to him. The question is, what were they trying to do to him? That's the big riddle over here. What was the damage that these two Edom were trying to cause to this person? What was the damage? So if you tell me the damage is the whole ksuba, right? If you tell me the damage is that they wanted to pay up the whole ksuba, right? Let's say $6,000. But they didn't really damage of $6,000. Why? Because it could have been tomorrow. Anyway, he would have got divorced and paid this money. I mean, again, so we're trying to figure out, two Edom come and say, this man has to pay ksuba today. So how much did they make him lose? That's the question. Because our Mishnah said, Valo, isn't it? Bein hayom uben l'machar, between today and tomorrow. So, fully till that ktuba, could be anyways, he'll pay the ksuba, he would have paid the ksuba, it could be, he would have paid the ksuba anyways. So that's our question. So, how do we figure out what damage is either we're trying to do? So it says the following. Omdin, we try to evaluate how much a person wants to give for this person's ksuba. What's the difference? Why would they want to buy her ksuba for her? Someone would want to buy her ksuba on the
notion that
maybe she'll end up collecting her ksuba. So if she'll end up collecting her ksuba, then this person who buys her ksuba will gain the full value. However, the imetah, what's the losing side to it? If she dies, Yerushena Ba'ala, her husband will yashin her, inherit her, and therefore she won't get any ksuba.
Is this what, so Lasha Rashi used the word suffix. We're talking, it's technically a suffix that she could or couldn't get, he could get his benefits to each one.
Possible gain
or risk. So the word suffix is not a suffix as we use suffix. In this case, you're saying each one has a benefit, and each one has a potential suffix or loss
so,
on each
right.
side.
Now, what's a suffix? Suffix always means a doubt.
Right.
So this person is buying this contract from the lady on doubt. He might gain, he might lose. It's a doubt if he'll gain or he'll lose. Fine.
But it is more accurate in English, say, an actuarial doubt. Just like a life insurance policy.
Fine. So it's actuarial doubt. Fine.
Fancy for us.
That's very fancy. But yes, the Rashi says suffix. Rashi is a suffix.
The Rashi
doesn't
say actuarial doubt.
I thought notion was fancy.
Okay, we're going live. Oh, fine. Now, but this still doesn't explain to us anything. Not really anything. If I read our mission, I still don't understand. What was my riddle? My riddle is, how much should I pay? How much should these Edom Zomim have to pay the husband? What was the potential damage they were doing to him? Correct? That's what you want to know, correct, Chana? What are we trying to figure out? How much are these Edom going to pay for the husband? So what are you telling me? You're telling me, make an actuarial doubt. Fine. Anyway, make a suffix. See how much someone would plan on buying this life insurance policy.
You have an actual table of labeling out every possibility and the percentage of it. You know, like there's a percentage of being hit by a meteorite, percentage of being struck by lightning, percentage of being kidnapped by aliens. But I take that back.
Fine.
Excluding Mexicans.
Fine.
Please, no conspiracy theories, please.
Fine. So now, so you make the chesed, you take your whole table, but even if you made your whole table and you did, you went through all your options, how someone could die, what's the percentage they're going to get divorced, what's the percentage she'll die, that's still, let's say I find a number. Let's say I finally come out with a number. Fine? I say there's a 50% chance she'll collect her ksuba, and a 50% chance she won't collect her ksuba, right? Meaning, there's a 50% chance she'll die first, right? And a 50% chance that he'll die or he'll give her again. Fine? It's a 50-50. So which means, how much would someone buy this ksuba from her for? Someone wants to buy out her ksuba and buy the benefits or the losses to her ksuba, how much would they pay? If it's a 50-50, how much should they pay? What do they pay, Hanan? It's 50-50. How much are they going to pay for this ksuba?
50%.
50%. Fine. I'll pay 50%. 50% of the apple. Good. 50%.
But
now,
they would pay less because they want to make a profit.
Then, one second. Let's say right now, Rashi said, I'm only going to pay 50%. The man, they said that alone. And they'll pay 50%. They're going to make a profit. Again, if they're buying this thing that's cost $6,000, right? He bought it off the lady for $3,000, right? It's a gamble. Either he'll make, if the husband dies, either he'll make $6,000 or he'll make nothing. Instead, he's making, it's a 50-50. It's like buying a lottery ticket. He's putting down $3,000. Good? If the lady dies first, and this ksuba is worthless, this piece of paper, this IOU is worth nothing, put it in the garbage, he lost $3,000. But if he dies first, the husband dies first, the Ozer Ksuba, this piece of paper says it's an IOU $6,000. So this guy will gain $6,000. Got there, Blade? This guy's going to buy, how much would he buy off this lady this ksuba for? $3,000. Why? A 50% chance he'll collect it. And he'll end up making on this piece of IOU $6,000. A 50% chance the husband will not make nothing. Good. Now we still understand, how does that explain to me how much the Eidim Zomit should pay the husband? What are we trying to figure out here? What's the price of the loss, the potential damage the Eidim Zomit were trying to cause the husband? Right? So you can't say it's the full $6,000. Because it could be, anyway, tomorrow he would have to shell out the $6,000 if he would have divorced his wife. So what's the price? If he would have divorced, if he would have, but we know, like Reb Leib is saying, we don't know the future. So we can't know the future. So we want to, is there a possible way to assess the damage that was done today without knowing the future? That's what we want to know. Is there such a thing of knowing what we did today? That's the question.
True statistics. The insurance company.
Okay, we're not saying statistics over here. We're saying in this specific case, we don't care about everybody else's life. We're not interested. We want to know about this person's life. We make an assessment on this situation, not in the whole world, how many people get struck by lightning. This guy's situation, what's the chance he's going to get divorced? So the guy, we walk in his house, he has a begana shalom on the shalom. He's probably not going to get divorced. Fine. Say, what's his life expectancy? He's a healthy guy? Fine. He has another safer over there on the thing? He's not going
to
die.
Yeah, so he'll live to 120, God willing.
Good. So now we assess the situation. This situation. We're focusing on this situation. Good. Now we still understand how in the world is that price, how much the lady, someone buy this mark the value of the lady, is that going to help? So Rashi explains to us, like we'll see right now. Let's see the Gemara, we'll see in Rashi, what Rashi says. So let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ketzat Shamin, which they explain, Rashi says, what does that mean? That means, how does this evaluation of evaluating how much someone would buy the ksuba off the lady, how does it show me how much the Eidim Zayim and the potential damage they were trying to do to the Baal?
How do we evaluate?
But more than how do we evaluate? Because Rashi explained it. Rashi learned, when how do you evaluate? The Mishnah seems like it's saying you evaluate the lady. How much someone, if you read the words of the Mishnah, it says, how much would someone buy? But they weren't saying, I still don't know a number. Meaning, we were trying, our riddle was, how do you figure out the potential damage the Eidim Zomit were trying to do to this husband? Right? It's not the full ksuba, because it could be he'll pay it tomorrow. So we said, you know what we do? I'll give you an eitzah. You know what my advice for you is? Evaluate how much someone will buy the ksuba off the lady. So how does that match up? We're trying to figure out. Our question is, what's the potential damage these Edom are trying to cause to this man? You're telling me to make an evaluation of the lady. How does that help me? Mar say, Kate's not showing. How are you evaluating? How's your evaluation helping my scenario? You didn't give me a solution to my problem. Here, Bavro?
Yeah.
I want to know how much these Edom Zayman are trying to potentially damage this guy. What are you telling me about the lady for? Evaluate the lady. Because when I say, how are you evaluating? How is your cheshbon working out? How in the world are you figuring out how much these Edom Zayman were potentially damaging this man? So I'm Rav Chesed says, Baba. But the husband, we should see what that means in Rashi. Rav Nassim bar Ashi, I'm Rav Nassim bar Ashi, says, Be'isha in the woman. I'm Rav Papa, Be'isha, says, I agree to it, it's Isha. Ubiksubasa, but only regarding Iksuba and not the Nechsemi look, like we'll see in Rashi and lunch what that means. Fine. Let's see this first Rashi, the small Rashi, the first one of the Gemara. Kitzat Shabbat. Klemar, what do we mean to say? Maika Machayev Lehu Lemeta. What are we obligating him? Maika Lehu, what are we obligating them, the Eid of Zomimit, Lemeta, to give to? What are we obligating the Eid of Zomimit to give to him? What's the price that you're making us give to him? Oh, Hare. The Yesh Liftar, Mishnah Seidu, because you could explain our Mishnah, the Shnei Sadiq, to two sides. And there's two ways to explain Ketzad Hel. Harebi Ol, Yesh Le'ish Ulu Isha, there's the man and the woman, they both have a Schut Safek Ukvazu. They both have a possible merit in gaining on this Ksuba. Right? Why? Because he mitzapet, she's hoping and she's waiting, She'im Yamut, if he dies, or Yigashena, if he divorces her, et kula, she will collect all the money. Right? So she's hoping she'll collect all the money. Right? So that's the chance. If she sells her ksuba, there's the percentage of chance that she will end up collecting her ksuba. So she wants to sell her ksuba with those benefits to it. But who mitzapen? He's hoping she'im tamut b'chayav, that if she dies in his lifetime, yirashena, he will inherit her and therefore he won't pay ksuba. So again, it's a 50-50. On one hand, she might gain because she might get paid for the ksuba, right? He might gain, really, he might not lose because he might not have to pay the ksuba. So what's the halacha? So it seems like it's a pretty even doubt. Let's say you're ready with a 50-50. But we say, no, Rashi, that's not true. The man, for sure, there's still a bigger percentage that someone would pay for the man's ksuba more than the ladies. Even if, let's say we make it 50-50. Right? Let's say that's what came out in our evaluation, our assessment. Let's say it came out, 50% chance she'll collect the ksuba, 50% chance she won't collect the ksuba. Right? Go to the man. 50% chance he'll pay the ksuba, 50% chance he won't pay the ksuba. Right? And how much would a person pay when he buys it off her, and how much would a person pay to buy this to sell the rights off him? So, off the lady. Now pay, if there's a 50% chance you can collect the ksuba, they'll pay 50%. The ksuba is worth $6,000. They'll pay $3,000. Good? Fine. However, for him, people will pay more than 50%. Even if there's a 50% chance that he'll pay the ksuba, and 50% chance he won't pay, someone will pay more than 50% to him. Why? Because yafe koskuto mikoskuta. His strength is stronger and is better than her strength in this evaluation. Why? I mean, Shreed, someone would pay more for his side than for her side.
Is the chav the strength or the chav to take?
The koach is the strength. You have a koach. Koach with a chav. Koach.
You say koach?
Koach with a chav chesed. Koach with it is kufcha. Here's chav.
Oh, okay.
Koach is kufcha.
It's a better strength to him than it is a better strength to
him. Good. There's better strength to his merit, meaning his side is stronger than her strength. Why? First of all, for one reason, shehu ochel perot hakarka, he eats the fruits of the land, hamiuchad l'ktubata, which is singled after ksuba, tamid constantly velohi enader. Meaning, it used to be a lot of people that what they used to do was on their ksuba they used to back their ksuba by a piece of land, which means they used to back their ksuba by a piece of land. They write on their ksuba, I'm going to give $6,000 to my wife, right, against the divorce if he dies, and it's being backed by this piece of land. That's their right. And this piece of land, they would say, this piece of real estate goes to his wife. That's what he would say. Now, all this time until he gives her this ksuba, who eats the fruits from it this whole time? He does. It's his property, correct? It's his property, which eventually he might give to her if he dies or he gets divorced, he'll give to her, correct? So when he sells this field, right now, automatically, whoever he's selling this field to, let's say this person he'll end up dying first. But until he dies, this person, whoever buys the field from him, could keep on eating those fruits. Instead, So automatically, they already pay a bigger percentage when they buy from him than buying it from her.
So I was going to ask, is the land now locked because of the woman's name on the land? Or can the man sell the land and transfer the property to a different property?
So he could sell it to someone else on condition he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. It's already locked for the ksuba.
It's locked.
But he could tell the man, person, I'm, but what does this guy want to do? He's saying, I'm hoping to outlive my wife.
Right.
I don't ever hope, I hope I'm never going to end up paying the ksuba.
He's going to get less money.
So I'll get less.
There's a chance that the wife's going to
ask. Good. But as of now, even until this whole time, this guy for sure can eat the fruits. Until, let's say, this guy is hopefully going to live for another 30 years. So he'll for sure be able to eat those fruits. So for sure, a person will pay more for this piece of land.
It sounds like you're saying that the land is collateral for the money that's written in the kasuba, as opposed to the land being the money itself, being what's written in the kasuba.
Let's say the case is, a lot of times they wrote in the ksuba this and this piece of land. Instead of saying you wrote a $6,000 piece of real estate will go to her if he dies. It's not so much a collect. This is the field that's going to her. But as of now, he doesn't owe it to her yet until he dies.
Okay.
Good?
Yeah. If it's only collateral, then it shouldn't have any bearing on the aid.
It's not a collateral. This is the field that she will collect one day.
Actually,
if he dies, she will collect. Good? So, Chana, you got this?
Yeah.
So she is selling the field. You were asking yesterday. Or someone was asking, what exactly is he selling? So he's selling the field. I mean, she has a piece of paper to sell, right? She's selling her ksuba. This I owe you $6,000 for the husband. If I die before you, I owe you $6,000. The lady sells this piece of paper to the guy, the investor, right? This guy who wants to take this
she's selling the rights to this land. And he's selling the rights to this land.
Fine.
But the reality is, he's selling the rights to the land with the benefits of the fruit. And she's selling the rights to the land. One day she's going to come to inherit
maybe
this piece of land.
Maybe one day. Correct. Good.
It's really a big difference.
So in Rashi's case, it's much easier because we were like in the bank, and it's that Rashi's case is much easier. We're talking about the case, Rashi makes it much simpler. If you say there's already a piece of land here, it's much easier to understand the case. Because, like we see, they're in the money here. This is the one piece of land. They're both betting on the land. Instead, two people are betting on the same land. So we have two investors that are both like going against each other. That's what comes out.
But Rashi's benefit only seems to be that he's just eating fruit. The fact is that the value of the land is even much more than eating fruit.
It is whatever it is. Meaning, fine with that for sure he'll gain if he wins. If the woman dies first. So Rashi's saying there's an extra
gain. The benefit is that he's eating fruit. I understand that. But
so it's an extra gain. Meaning a buyer, potential buyer, would put more into the money.
Yes.
Into buying the land.
They're not forgetting about the man's name on the land, but they're adding additional cost or price because he can also.
He's for sure. Meaning there's something for sure. There's something definite. He's definitely for the next 30 years, hopefully. He's assuming this guy's not going to get divorced or die within the next 30 years. The guy's almost sure he's going to get this land. Until something happens, something drastic happens in these people's lives, this guy's eating.
God forbid if he divorces her or he dies, she's going to get the land.
Right.
True, that's the risk. Good, it's a risk.
Right.
That's the risk. But a guy would pay more. When you're buying a paper up for her, you don't get anything now. You're just buying a paper.
Right.
That one day this land this says that if she.
You buy it off of him, you test it for him, yeah?
If you think that's the story. The story is the guy is saying right away, I'm buying this land for you today, and there is a chance that you'll lose it. The owners, the boss is like this. I have a piece of land. Really, it's destined to pay with the ksuba for my wife. I want money now. How much are you willing to risk it? But it comes that this guy automatically is gaining, at least for time being, until something drastic, you never know, it'll be tomorrow, but until something drastic happens, the buyer for the husband.
Rights to the land and the potential that he might own the land.
Perfect. So he'll pay more than paying the lady. The lady getting a piece of paper, you might own the land in one day,
right,
which you get nothing for now. So it's just like all theoretical, maybe. Fine. So Rashi said automatically to realize that someone would buy off the man this land more, they would pay more for this options contract, more than they would pay for the lady. That even if it's a 50-50. There's exactly 50% chance that he'll die. It's a 50-50 she'll collect the sewer now. Let's say it's exact.
Right.
Still, you'd end up spending more on the man to buy from the man than for the lady. That's the first reason. That's one reason Rashi says. What's the next reason? So first of all, the halacha is that even though he promised her a land to the ksuba, until he has to pay the ksuba, the halacha is, until he gives this land to her until that day, he eats the fruits, and not her. It's not her fruits. It's his land. He doesn't owe the fruits. It belongs to him. Fine. Va'od, what's another reason? Yeah, so what's the next reason? Va'od, what's the next reason? Va'od shehu muchzik va'amin. That he already has the field by him. So the guy who bought the field from him, you already bought it, you have it, he's muchzik, but he has a chazaka, he's holding on, it's like a standing, it's a bystanding situation, it's a standing situation that you already have. The heba, the one who buys it from her, Mechzer Gabayim is still missing collecting. We know to collect things, you go to courts and this and that. To collect something is very complicated. Till you actually collect something is very complicated. Right? Till you actually. So again, another person would be willing to pay more on to bet on the man's field. When you're buying it for the man, the husband is giving you the field right now. You're eating the fruits, and you have to start collecting it, collecting agents, collection agencies. If you buy it from the lady, what happens when you buy it from the lady? What happens? This guy bought this thing from the lady, right? 30 years later, right, the husband dies, right? Now, what happens when the husband dies? This guy's to go to the inheritors of the husband, tell him, let's say this was his wife, and she sold it to me, and give me the field, and they start making stories, wouldn't want to, this, that, other thing, wouldn't know. It's a whole balagan. So another reason why people will pay more to buy from the husband. So even though it's the same exact 50-50, it's a 50% chance, someone would pay more to invest and buy this land from the husband, they would buy from the lady. So right now, let's say it's a 60-40. So someone would pay 40% to buy the contract, the ksuba off the lady, the 40% of its value, and 60% of the value if they're buying it from the husband. Good? That's what comes out according to Rashi. Now, Sati Rashi, the imba, the second to last thin line, the imba or limkar, if they came to sell, they both want to sell their, whatever, the lady wants to sell her ksuba, or the rights to her ksuba, and the man wants to sell the land. The imba or limkar la'achar, if they want to sell to someone else. So zuzchut tzveka, the zuzchut tzveka, this is the merit of her doubt, that she heard the merit of her doubt, like your gain on the doubt on her part is that she might, that he might die first. The zuzchut tzveka, and this is the merit of, like his doubt, so to speak, this is the gain, this could be the possible gain on the doubt that he's going to sell. So what will come in, shiloh, from his nimkar will be sold, biyotem shiloh. His contract, his field will be sold much more than she could sell her contract for, her ksuba for. Fine. So Rashi was first explaining what in the world it means. You're looking at how much, right? If you read the Gemara, it says
term is more than her.
Shaloh nimkar, yeah, his will be sold. His options contract, whatever. Biyoter will be sold more. Biyoter is more.
Mishalah
than hers. So will buy his thing more than they would pay for hers. Good. So Rashi almost just explained that why we saw the Gemara. The Gemara says Rav Chisda says you evaluate the husband, right? How much the husband could sell his portion for. Rav Papa said you evaluate, Rav Nassin, or as you said, you evaluate the lady. Now we're trying to understand what the difference is. If you're evaluating the lady, right? We still don't know the difference.
You sell it for less.
Right, it's still we'll have to see Rashi. Coming in now, at least according to the words of the Mishnah, it sounds like you pay the ladies however much the lady can sell it for. At least according to, well, Rashi is saying the second doesn't make sense. Meaning, so if our Mishnah said, how much did the Eid of Zoman pay the husband? Now, the same amount someone would buy the contract for her. Which is what? That would be 40%, because Rashi said hers is 40%, it's good. But if Rashi can say a second, then, that makes no sense.
If they're willing to buy from her for 40%, then it means you're making the high of the zomim the 60%.
Oh, so that's what Rashi said a second. Good. I mean, according to the words of the Mishnah, it just says pay to it says evaluate how much someone would buy off her. But now Rashi is saying, so now if you read the Mishnah, it sounds like you just stop there.
Right.
And give the 40%. And Rashi explained to us that's the Gemara's whole question. What the thing is then? Why are you giving her 40%?
Right.
What was he losing out?
We're trying to determine how much he's
he
losing
lost
out.
That. So he lost.
How much he would have been? How much the Zomim were trying to get him to lose out?
So they would have made him lose out 60.
Right.
So that's Rashi's thought. So let's see Rashi. So Rashi say, "Relishna the Mishnah Mash." But what's the lush of the terminology? Our Mishnah is whose contract do you evaluate? Who they're buying? Are they buying her contract or his field? The terminology in the Mishnah sounds like it's saying Sheshamin Zchut Sveka, that we evaluate the Sveka, the amount, the doubt of her merit, which would mean the 40%. Diktani, because our Mishnah states Kama Adam Ratzel Liten, how much would a person give She'im Nit Amla if she becomes a widow? I mean, that's the positive side to it. How much would a person want to give her, invest in her, on the chance she'll become a widow in Belgium?
So it looks like it's from her perspective.
Right. And then as the Mishnah says, the other side is he might die first. But the Mishnah is starting with her perspective, we're focusing on her. It's not like you're buying it from her. However, Rashi says, but you can't say that. But look, you can't tell me that the problem is you're buying it from her. Why? But you can't tell me that money to new Hazoman means. That's how much the Zoman should pay. Fine. So saying, you can't say that amount of money, which is the 40% that the lady could have sold it for, that's what the Zomim should give to the husband, that's what they should pay. Can't be that's the right price, the 40%. Why? Because behold, Lo zchut tzedaka. They didn't ba'u lahafsidu. It wasn't the merit of her suffix that they came to make him lose. They weren't making him lose her 40%. Ella, rather, zchut tzedaka. They were coming to make him lose the amount that he could have sold it for. Shahayu mechayvin oto, because they were obligating him leframiyat to pay right away. Because what happened over here? They were trying to obligate him to pay up today the full price. Let's say $100, right? They were obligating him to pay $100, correct? And how much could he sold this contract for? He could have sold this contract for 60, right? So why should he be paying him 40? I mean, why in the world are you paying him that amount that she could have sold her contract for? Where's the focus on? What were the Eidim Zohar trying to do? They were trying to make him pay up the full contract today. That's what came out. They were coming to make him. So now, why would you tell him that he has to pay the 40% that she could have sold it for? It should be the opposite. It should be that if he could have sold it for 60% today, then... Well, I'm not sure how Rashi said it, because maybe... Oh, it would be 60. If he would, let's say he would have sold the contract to her. Let's say he would have bought her contract. Right? How much would he spent on her contract? Let's say the husband would have bought, been the one to buy her contract.
You would buy it.
It's probably worth 40. That's how much the contract is on the market for. He probably would have bought it for 40. Right?
Right, but he could sell it for 60 because of the land. Because you have the produce on the land, which will give you income for X number of years.
He would buy it from her for cheaper than it's worth to him.
Right, he would have bought it for 40.
Right,
he would buy it for 40,
but sell it for 60.
Somebody to buy it from him would be worth more.
Right, oh, so now, so how much was he really losing? When the Eidim Zohar made him shell out $100.
Right.
So he, technically speaking, could have bought himself out of this whole thing.
He could have bought it for 40, so he'd be losing 60.
So it sounds like he's losing $60. Right. Good. So according to this guy, so we didn't just say you pay the 40, which the Mishnah says pay the amount that you evaluate her. Obviously it means make the cheshbon.
Then you pay the 60.
How much God pays the 60. I mean, the Mishnah itself just says evaluate how much she could sell it for. Rashi, of course, doesn't mean give that number, that 40, because that doesn't make any sense. They weren't trying to make him lose that 40. They were trying to make him lose
60.
The 60. Could he got the chanan? If he would have bought it off her, like that's really Rashi going to say the chanan. He paid 100. He would have bought it from her anyway off 40. Let's say he would have been the guy to buy it.
Her
thing. So he would have bought it for 40.
Right.
So how much did he lose when they, so, which means today, we want to, what did the Eidim do damage? What did, if you're focusing on today, right? We don't know the future. So today, he could have today bought the Ksuda from her for 40, technically.
Right.
So by them making him shell out 100, they made him lose 60. Mm-hmm. Good. So that's what Rashi is going to say. That's what Rashi is going to explain. Because even though the Mishnah sounds like they pay 40, Rashi, it doesn't make sense you pay 40. They weren't trying to make her lose the money, they're trying to make him lose his money.
Right.
That's what Rashi is saying. That's what Rashi is explaining now. So then, the past few lines, that's what Rashi was saying. From the set, we'll read it again. Rashi was just explaining, you can't tell me that they pay only the 40, because that's her contract. It has to be, right? Rashi started off saying, even though you read the Mishnah, it sounds like you're paying her 40. It doesn't make sense, because they weren't trying to make him lose her 40.
Right.
They were trying to her doubt how much she would, they were trying to make him lose. So Rashi is going to say, the Yishlomer, obviously it means, make the Cheshman how much she could sell hers for.
And with the loss to him, that's the amount that he's only paying.
Perfect. With the loss to him, he say 40. So if they made him pay 100 and he would have bought it for 40, the loss to equal 100 minus 40 equals 60. Very good, Chanan. Oh, so okay. So let's see. Let's just go back to the Halakal Meir, because we're explaining first with Rashi. You can't say it means the 40. But Halakal, the second line, Rashi, Halakal Meir, you cannot say Sha'osan Dama, the same money, that amount of money, the 40, it's new Hazon Meir. That's what the Zon Meir should give. Sha'arib behold, lo zchut tzedaka ba'o lahafsido. They did not come to make him lose the amount of her suffix. Someone would have bought it off of her. Elas chut tzedakah, rather the amount he could have sold it for. Kama adabros shehayu mechayvin oto l'frei miyad. They were mechayvin. They forced him to pay whatever they made him pay right away, $100. He should deduct the other price. Yesh lamar. So Tosfos Rashi answers the hachi kamar. This is what the Mishnah means to say. Like we said before, shamin zchut tzedakah. We evaluate her suffix. Kama adam. How much a person would give means the benefit is that to get the goods and the benefits that are belonging to her. But that amount, this amount, lo yishamu, they don't pay the 40%. It's not what the Eidim Zohar are paying. Right? But this amount, or this 40, lo yishamu, they're not paying. So what do they pay? All the rest yishamu. All the rest of the, not the 40, all the rest, the other 60, the rest of the ksuba, that's what they'll pay. So we said the pshat even saw it in Rashi. Meaning why? Shekol ha-sha'ar, all the rest, hayu mapsidim oto, they were making him lose be'edu tam with their edos. So they're going to pay the other 60. Aval, so Rashi like says it very clearly. Aval, but autonomy, that money, that $40, loyim mapsidim oto, they weren't making him lose that 40. Why? Sharikam ata, because even now, let's say today, it comes out that they weren't divorced. Kuzhu huzmu, they became edim zon. Imaita rotzala mochra, if she would be willing to sell her ksuba to him. Yiten la ha-ba'al, the husband would give beratzon. He would have willingly gave her $40 to gain, that he'll gain the ksuba. So that's one. Rashi saying, you can't, when the edim zon came and made this guy shell out $100 today, they would not have, they didn't really make him lose $100. Why? Rashi, let's say we look at the story right now. They really weren't divorced, right? If the edim zon come, they show us they really were not divorced, right? The Baal will be very happy to buy the ksuba off his wife for $40. He'd be willing to invest and buy $40 and take the risk.
It's amazing. It's what the Gemara is saying is that a person's losses aren't really dependent on his losses. A person's losses are dependent on his losses minus his own ratzon. Minus his will. Like, what? How much would he be willing to lose in this situation?
So he would be willing to lose 40 anyways. He didn't really lose the 100.
Right. It's amazing.
Oh, very good. Oh, so that's one. So that's all explaining the first. Our Gemara starts to saying, Kate says, Shemr Chesed says, Babal, you evaluate the husband. And how do you evaluate? Sorry, that was Be'isha. Which means that was really Rashi for some reason says Rav Nassim's Pshat first. I don't know why. The Gemara first says, you evaluate the Baal, and then says this other Pshat, you evaluate the lead. Rashi for some reason flips it. I know why, because Rashi says, our Mishnah sounds like the simple pshat is
the first one mentioned in the Mishnah, isn't it?
I know the Mishnah it sounds like the simple pshat is that we're evaluating her. But if you look at our Gemara says Ketzad Shamin, Amar Rav Chista Beba. Our Mishnah says you evaluate him first, which is where Rashi going to get to that Cheshbon now. Rav Nosim, our Rashi said the Isha. The Cheshbon we just said now is the second pshat, what was Isha. So Rashi already, I think, as he was coming off the Mishnah, he's trying to tell us the Mishnah. We were like focus on the Mishnah. He said the pshat the other way, just to help with. And it happens to be, anyways, Rashi now is just, this is all just a preview. Because Rashi in a suit is going to break down the whole thing. This whole Rashi is an introduction to the rest of the sugi. You know that. After this Rashi finishes, Rashi breaks it down in the Gemara every line, according to the Gemara. So Rashi is explaining the overall picture. So he's like, he takes this from the Mishnah, that's where our head is, then works the other way. But after he finishes the whole Rashi, he's going to go back and explain everything step by step in the Gemara. I guess Rashi probably thought it was a hard Gemara for us, so they try to help us out. Fine. So that's one pshat. So that was all called evaluating the lady. Because we understood how much the remainder of whatever someone bought the ksuba off the lady, it's considered the amount that he's going to have to pay. Right? The remainder of the 40 is the amount that he's going to have to pay. So which means we're evaluating, in essence, we're really evaluating how much would someone buy the ksuba off the lady. That's when we get to the number 6. Good? Right? So again, I want to know how much do the Edom Zomim have to pay this Baal? How do we evaluate, assess what were they trying to make him lose, right? So we figured out that these Edom Zomim, by saying that this guy has to pay his ksuba today, and not maybe in a year from now or whatever, means they were making him lose 60% of the ksuba. That's what it means on paper. Which means, like Rabbi was telling me, we don't know the future. We have to say how much was the ksuba worth today, and what would he have done today? If he would have bought out his wife today, that's 4%, then it's 60%. Good. Let's see the other side of this. Now, what's the flip side? That's all considered with value the lady.
Why don't we say his price minus her price?
So then what do they say right now? We're going to go a little bit. We're going to go to this, the other side. We're going to do that right now. Similar. But I'm going to say minus her price. We're going to go to his side now. Good. It's a good question. Why, right now, that's what we're going to. Now we're going to the other side, the other way to explain the Mishnah, that we're evaluating the Baal. We're going to start the way we figure out how much the Edom owe this man is by evaluating how much someone would have bought this field from him.
First opinion in the Gemara.
Right, which is really the first opinion in the Gemara. Rashi is flipping. Good, perfect. So now, so in Rashi, we're a bunch of lines into Rashi. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have 8 lines into Rashi. Rashi is saying, although, what's the flip side? What's the other way to figure out how much the Edom Zomim should pay? What's the other way to assess the damage they did to this husband? Or their potential damage they were doing? Odomo, or maybe, Zechut Svekok Amar. We're saying this Chus of his son, Masnis. What's the Mishnah telling you? To Lashaymu, that you should evaluate. Or maybe zchut svekod, the doubt of a suffix that, so to speak, that someone would buy from him. Ka'amar masnisa. That's our Mishnah saying. Tilashaimu, this is what we should evaluate. But autonomy, this amount of money, Yitnua Edim, this is what the Edim should give to him. Now, how do you assess that value? So we mentioned earlier, we said how much would a person buy the field from him? This guy wants to sell his field, which is destined to go to the Ksuba, correct? This guy, the field, destined to go to the Ksuba. How much would a person want to buy this field for? What's the value they would want to buy from this field, let's say? Right? How much would they be willing to invest the value of this field to buy? Right? And that amount is really what these Edom are making him lose.
Right.
So how much he could have sold his field for today? And they're telling you to give it to the lady today. They made him lose. If he could have sold his field for 70% of the ksuba, of its worth, which means 70% of the ksuba, and the Edom made him give it to the lady, that means they made him lose 70%. So we don't have to start doing subtraction. The same exact amount that this guy could have sold this field for today, they made him lose. Because they're making him give away that field today.
Yeah.
Correct? Which means it's not going to be the full price of the field. It could be he would have been giving the field anyway in a few days from now. So the damage with it today was how much could he sold the field today on the day of their Edus. And the fact he had to give it away, is that means they lost that money.
But wait, you're forgetting one thing.
1 second, sorry.
All the money for the bow is based on that field? Also on...
No, because it's not going to be the full money. Which means this guy's a field that's worth, let's say, $6,000. Good? That's destined for his wife, Ksuma. Good? It's destined for his wife's Ksuma.
Included in the
not addition. This is the Ksuma.
This is the Ksuma.
They wrote in the Ksuma, instead of giving you money, I'm giving you this piece of car. Give me this field. Good?
Yeah.
Now, that's this field. Now, this guy, he's hoping to live a long life. He's not planning to get divorced so soon. So he said, you know what? What am I keeping this field here for until the day I die? I want to sell it to somebody. Make some money on it. I want to sell it. I want to sell this field. Right? Yeah, he's going to come to a potential buyer. He's going to tell the buyer, listen, this field is really supposed to go for a ksuba. Right? This field is really supposed to go for
it's
a ksuba.
It's
covered by the ksuba. It's really back.
Yeah, lean on it.
It's a lean on the ksuba. So how much would you be willing to pay to buy this field for me? He's not going to pay 100% for the field because this guy might die in a few years from now. This field is going to go to the wife. So we say how much? So let's say he'll give... we're rationally going to say it's going to be more than...
If she dies, the buyer would get the whole field. And the liens were moved on it, and he can convey title to
very
the buyer.
If she dies...
If he dies, then the field goes to her, and the guy gets nothing to do selling the field.
So but
you still need to calculate the amount of produce produced on the
land.
We're not
calculating produce. So this guy, if he said this field... No, he said this field goes to the ksuba no matter what. You don't have to make it complicated. It's a very simple case. He said this field is going to the ksuba. That's all. Period. He's not saying how much is worth. It's easier.
No, but I mean for the buyer. The buyer is calculating how much produce can I get from this field between now and the time.
Correct. He's
that's his profit. That's why he's wanting to buy
right.
the field.
But also,
and he has the potential chance of owning the field.
But in the meantime, he's getting all the produce.
Fine. Oh, so he has more. So he'll pay, Rashi say, to buy it off him, you know how much he'll pay? 70%. That's what Rashi says. More than 60%. Meaning, before we made a judgment, we said the husband's mouth, right? We said if he was going for the ladies, start from the ladies' part, and you switch over to the man, so you say, as we said, so kind of like this. It comes out, a person would usually pay 70% of the field's value. Let's say, in order to buy this field from the man. So let's see Rashi. Oh, Dilma, or maybe Schut Seko Karmasitin. Dilma Shaibu, that's what should value. V'otan Damim, and this money, you have to do what Edim, this is what the Edim would give it. But the Lomach Avinalu Kulehai, they wouldn't obligate him to pay the whole thing. She had to do Kolak Suba, which is the whole Suba. They wouldn't pay for the whole field. Sorry, someone close the door. Sorry. Because maybe they wouldn't have lost, made him lose so much money. Because even now, when they became Edom Zomim, Shema Yomut Machar, maybe he'll die tomorrow. And this lady would have collected the entire ksuba anyways. Right? Which means by them saying, hey, this guy has to pay this whole field to this lady today. We didn't make him lose the whole field. You can't necessarily say that. Because it could be anyway tomorrow he would have died, right? And he would have paid her the whole field tomorrow. So he didn't lose the field. We're talking about the case here, he didn't sell her this field. They give him the amount of the how much someone would have bought the field from him. Let's say the case theoretically, they would have not became Edom Zomim. Haya poreya miyad. This husband would have been willing to pay today. Achshav shows mu. Yeshla batzchutz bekok batchila. How much would have this husband been willing to sell this field today? The day when those Edom came in and testified. How much money would he made on that field today? That's the question. How much would he made on that field today? Oh, so now Rashi can explain in the future Rashi exactly how it works out. But Rashi says, so now, but the next Rashi is going to try to figure out how it fits into the Mishnah. But what's the, like before we finish, right, let's just, I'll try to finish the week. So what's the chesed here? If the first chesed is, you're valuing how much someone would buy for the lady. Someone would buy the lady 40%, right? Which means the husband would have been willing to pay 40% anyway today. Then how much do they have to pay?
60.
Or the other, that's if you're valuing the lady, starting for the lady. The other way to do is start from the man. Which means how much would someone been willing to buy the field from him today? Which it comes out to be more than 60. To be 70. Rashi, ladies, we're really going to explain why, because Rashi is going to say that for some reason it comes out a little bit more. It's a little tricky. Why?
That's the whole value of the shoe or just the commission?
No, the value is 100%.
Is it but value?
Since the guy's going to buy the fruit, right, and the guy's going to collect, and this and that. So we see how much could have the husband sold the field today. Let's say the day he could have sold the field today. Let's say he could have sold it for 70%.
He can't sell the field, just saying sell it to him.
Meaning by him, he's selling the field. I'm saying in this case, the field. If he could have sold it today for 70%, that, and he had to pay that today, it means that the Zohar made him lose today 70%.
Right.
If he could have sold the field, technically speaking, for today on this Rosh Chodesh Adar, he could have put the field for sale, someone would have bought it for 70% of the value.
Somebody right? would have bought it for 70%.
Someone would have bought it.
So then he really lost 30%.
Correct.
So, when you evaluate it from the per side,
he makes
it's more strict on the Zomamim. When you evaluate it on per side, the Zomamim end up having to pay more money.
Is that good? Correct. Rashi says later, Rashi has a very, very big chumrah to evaluate. Rashi is going to say later to evaluate the lady. Starting for the ladies, right? It's a stringency. Because if you start for the
ladies,
if you start for the ladies' side, so we pay they say they have to pay him 60%.
Right.
If you start for the man's side, they only have to pay him 30%. So it comes to a very big chumrah to go. But that's machlokes the gemara. So you think that's what it means. But our Mishnah Gemara says, who do you evaluate, the man or the lady? It makes a huge difference, right? Sure. So the first sheet says the baal, which means he could have sold it for 70%, so then he lost 30%.
Right.
The Rav Nasbar Isha, the Isha, that's only going to be, that means they're going to pay much more, they're going to pay 60%. So really, maybe everybody try to finish the rest of the Mishnah. It looks like something we're going to start the Mishnah.
Maybe tomorrow.
Mishnah, so we'll start the Mishnah, we'll start the new Mishnah on Sunday.